will be in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 39. And the title of the message today is A Trip to the Hill Country, Not to be Regretted. And we're going to see where Mary heads to the hills of Judea to see her cousin Elizabeth and how we can apply that to our lives today. Pray for my voice this morning. 2 days ago, I didn't know if I'd have a voice, but between my cousin and I, we have invented quite a remedy. So if you'd like that remedy, give me a call. I'm not responsible for accidents, but it does work. You've already heard about it. Verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, that would be John the Baptist, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Verse 46. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Are you noticing all the Old Testament quotes here? Verse 41. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we pray this morning that you would apply it to our hearts and that our hearts would be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a verse I want to begin with that you might want to mark or notate in your Bible if you don't know it, but it's Psalms chapter 31, verse 15, and there's a portion of that verse that is very important to you and I, and it says, My times are in your hand. And we all agree that God is a sovereign God, but we have to remind ourselves, and I think that right here at Christmas time or approaching Christmas time, it's a good time to remind yourself of that your times are in the hands of God. And so Mary, her times were in the hands of God. In fact, in Galatians 4, it talks about in the fullness of time. Literally on a certain time and a certain day that she would actually give birth to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so she makes this trip in haste, and it reminds me of, have you ever took trips that you never regretted? I know Trace and I have took a lot of trips. Some trips we've regretted and a lot of trips that we haven't regretted. I think the first trip that I ever took that I have not regretted was the trip I took to go ask Trace out on a date. Do you remember that, Teresa? And was that December the... Unfortunately. was that December the 6th? December 2nd. December the 2nd. And took her out to a movie, and I didn't think she'd like me. I had a cap on because I didn't want her to see my bald head. I borrowed my mom's car because I didn't want her to ride in my dually with no tailgate and hay bales in the back and no air conditioning. And so I picked her up in my mom's car. We got out of the movie, and I went to pop the emergency brake on my standard dually that was now a Chevrolet Lunima. And when I did, the front hood popped up. So I had to confess at that moment that I was driving my mom's car. And got out and shut the hood and took her home, and I left. Never took her to eat, never took her anywhere else. We went to a movie, and then I took her home. I thought, well, she probably didn't like me anyway. So I called her and asked her out the next week. Next week, we went and looked at the Christmas lights in Marshall. And then the third week, I called her again. I'm like, man, I'm on a roll. I'm going to ask her to marry me next. And so the third trip, we went back to the farm and we drug cow manure with an old iron gate behind a four-wheeler to spread it across the pasture. And I thought, if she'll still love me after this, then I'm definitely going to marry her. Well, and she did. And so we agreed to get married, but we never had a formal, we didn't do it right. I didn't ask her in the right way. So I started asking, how can I ask Teresa to marry me in a formal way? So when we were at the Broadway and Loop 323, where the mall is, I stopped at the red light and I said, Teresa, will you marry me? I didn't want to waste no time trying to figure that romance stuff out. And the light turned green, and she said, I will. And we've been married ever since. And so, young people, if you need some advice on how to date, holler at me. First thing I want to look at verse 39. Is something that happens here. When God ignites your faith, expect at least three things. Number one, for God to move you in some area of life. Now, you got to put yourself in the shoes of Mary. Here's this young lady, a lady that thoroughly understood the Scriptures, knew the Scriptures, a very chaste woman, a very virtuous woman, who was betrothed to marriage at that time, but was a virgin. And so here's Mary. And the Bible tells us that just prior to this, that an angel came and spoke to Mary and told Mary that she was going to have a child and that that child was going to basically be her Savior. She was going to bring the Messiah into the world. Now, can you imagine getting that kind of news? But she also finds out, guess what, that Elizabeth is pregnant. Now, Elizabeth is going to have John the Baptist. Remember, there's Elizabeth married to Zacharias. And she finds out that she's already in her 6th month of pregnancy. Now, it's believed that Elizabeth lived about 75 miles away in the hills of Judea. And here's Mary living in Nazareth. And so Mary decides that she's going to make a trip to see Elizabeth when she finds out this news. Now, I can't think that I know Mary's heart, but I think that there was two things going on. Number one, she's having a child by miracle because of her age. Just as Mary is about to have a child by a miracle, a virgin birth. Now, there's not very many people. In fact, there's no other people that's ever been given a message like Mary was given. And it's just interesting that her cousin, God uses her cousin Elizabeth to bear the forerunner, John the Baptist. So pick up in verse 39. Now, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. Now, you've got to see the picture here. Mary is hearing this news from the angel, and the picture that Luke's trying to give us is that Mary's not messing around. Mary is getting ready. She's arising. She arose in those days, and she went into the hill country with haste. She's in a hurry. She didn't mess around. To a city of Judah. Now, Zacharias would have been living as a priest. He would have been living in the city of Judah, in one of those priestly cities. And watch this, verse 40. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now, customarily, when you went to a home, if you sent a letter ahead of time or what have you, then they would be expecting you to arrive. And it was a part of their culture to await for you. In other words, know about when you're going to arrive and be watching for you so that you greet the guest outside and the guest doesn't have to knock on the door. And in this case, Mary decides, I'm going to surprise Elizabeth. There's not going to be a waste of time of knocking on the door. Now, it's been a long trip. Elizabeth being in her 6th month of pregnancy, she's in the house. And she's doing what any woman at that time would be doing. And so Mary just barges right on in. And so look at what happens. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting. Some have said this is the first season's greeting. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe, that's John the Baptist, the babe, 6 months in the womb, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see about three things that happens when you obey God, and you decide to move upon a burden. But before I do, I want to tell you a really quick story. Some of you have heard it before. I've had a lot of burdens through the years to go and witness to people. And I could tell a lot of them because a lot of them are really cool in what God did. Or burdens to go do this or to do something else, to pray for someone. And there was a case where I had this big burden to go to Amarillo and witness to a guy that before I became a Christian, and I knew he wasn't a Christian and he was dying of cancer. And Teresa and I spent several weeks praying for this man's salvation. Had a strong burden. We reserved a hotel and we took off to go witness to this man. And we get up there and this man didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to have anything to do with Christ. He didn't want to hear my testimony. At just a short time later, maybe within a week or two, I can't remember, but it was really close, he died. And I'm praying that something happened before he died. But while we were up there, and I was really disheartened, and I told Teresa, I said, I can't understand this. I mean, we've prayed for this man, and we've prayed daily for this man, that he would come to know the Lord. And so I was real disheartened, and we left, and a man's name came to my mind that was a welder that used to work on the projects with us, the jobs that we were doing. And I knew he was up in his years, and I just wanted to say hi to him and go see him. So I figured out where he lived, and Teresa went to his house, and nobody was there. So I decided to sit out there in the car by the curb and wait a few minutes just to see if that man would arrive home. Well, there was a van parked in front of us with Oklahoma license plates. And I'm sitting in the car just reading my Bible and thinking, Lord, what are you doing? And this man gets out and he walks up to the window. Never met him in my life. Didn't have a clue who he was. And he said, are you waiting on somebody? And I said, yeah, I'm waiting on David Irwin, a friend of mine I used to work with. I was just hoping he'd come. He said, well, I'm waiting on the same guy. That was his son-in-law. And he said, you know, I was just sitting in my van, and I was wondering what eternity means. Now, this is a guy that was as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. I was wondering what eternity means. And immediately, that baby leaped in my womb. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, let me get out and talk to you. I knew then that God had a whole different plan than what my plan was. So we sit out there on the curb and I share the gospel with him and what the message of salvation is all about. About that time David drives up and the rest of the family comes up and we all go inside the house. And I can honestly say that Teresa and I witnessed an entire household come to know the Lord in that trip. As we shared the gospel with that whole family, kids, everybody, David Irwin, his son-in-law, his son-in-law's wife, all of them coming to know the Lord in that house. And so the power of obeying a burden cannot be underemphasized. When God gives you a burden to call somebody or a burden to witness to somebody or a burden to pray for somebody or a burden to send that card or a burden to send that letter, just be obedient because you never know what the fruit of that's going to be. Until we get to heaven, we won't see the full measure of it. And so here's something that Mary had to do. She had to move away from where she was at for a time. I think she knew in Nazareth that she wasn't going to be accepted, that she was possibly going to be found out, and that people would want to stone her thinking that she had committed adultery. I mean, this has not happened with anybody else. And so she goes to the hill country, and it's interesting because she finds out three things. Now, here's what happens when you obey those burdens from God. Her time with Elizabeth gave her three types of encouragement. It's on your outline, and you might want to write these down because it's so true. And if you're like me, you're going to remember these very things in your own life coming true as you've obeyed God. Look at verse 36. There was confirmation. The Bible says, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Now she's just been told that there's another miracle taking place. And when you hear that God's done something in someone's life, you want to see it confirmed. You need confirmation. And she conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Now Mary would have knew full well about Elizabeth being barren and being of older age. And so she shows up. And then in verse 41, the Bible says, "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb." Now, some have asked, did that baby at 6 months in the womb know who that was? I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Spirit made that baby jump in the womb. It was confirmation. There's many times that God uses His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to confirm something with you. It may be a decision that you're making that's a very important decision that you've been praying about for a long time. And I mean, you're like right at the door of making that decision. The time is running out. The hourglass has a few grains of sand to come through it, and it's time for that decision. And then just as you make that decision in faith and after much prayer, praying that it was the right decision, the phone will ring. Or somebody will come by and confirm what you did. And you'll say, "Have you talked to somebody?" And they'll be like, "No, what are you talking about?" And they'll give affirmation. God does that. He uses Christians to affirm Christians and to confirm things. And so look at what happens. The babe jumps in the womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of confusion over what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, immediately you've been sealed until the day of redemption by the Spirit of God. And nobody can remove that seal because Jesus paid for that seal with His blood at Calvary. And that, just like the song is, the blood will never lose its power. So being sealed of the Spirit means you've been made positionally righteous in the eyes of God. That's what sealing does. You're positionally righteous. It's like a jar that you've canned some green beans in. By the way, I had some fried green beans this week. They were good. But it's just like canning. And you put the lid on that jar and it seals it until the day that you break the seal. Now, God alone is the only one that can break the seal. And He has promised that He'll keep you sealed until the day of redemption. But then the Bible talks about in Ephesians 5:18 being filled with the Spirit. And He compares it to intoxication. Now, what does intoxication do? Somebody that gets intoxicated, they can't think. That it affects their thinking. It affects the way that they act. It affects the way that they speak. But on the reverse of that, if you're filled with the Lord and you're filled with the Spirit, it affects how you act. There's joy, there's love, there's patience, there's goodness, there's self-control. It affects how you think. It affects how you speak. Just as alcohol on the reverse side does. And so what happened here is the Holy Spirit has overwhelmed Elizabeth. She is on a mountaintop experience. Her faith is going through the roof. And she knows that the very thing that is happening to her, that the mother of her Lord, a younger lady, her cousin Mary, has walked into the house, and she knows that these things are true, and she believes it by faith, but also because she's got 6 months of pregnancy to prove it. She knows that God has done the impossible. He has worked a miracle. So the first thing He does is He brings confirmation. The second thing He does, He brings consolation. You ever made a decision and you don't feel comfortable about it? And you wonder, is this really of God? Did I make the right decision? Am I doing the right thing? Well, I really struggled with that when I asked Teresa to marry me. I'm just kidding, I didn't. But you need comfort. You need the Lord to come and comfort your heart to say, listen, this is the right thing. You know how God brings comfort? The Bible calls it a peace that surpasses all understanding. In fact, if you're reading in Philippians 4, when it talks about be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will what? Guard. It's the key word. It will guard your heart. He says, I'm going to take this peace, and it's going to come before your heart that is anxious, and He's saying, I'm going to put a guard before it to help squash the anxiety. That guard is going to be there, and every time that fear tries to break into your heart, and that worry tries to break into your heart and that anxiety tries to get in there, that guard is going to stand up before Him and say, peace. There's going to be a peace. Have you ever talked to someone that's going through it? I mean, they are going through it. Sometimes God lets us go through things to squeeze out that peace and to squeeze out that faith so others can be blessed. I've always been amazed when I visit church members that are in the hospital. They have more peace than we do. We're there visiting. They're the ones going through it, and they're just calm as a cucumber. It happened the other day when I visited Dorothy in the hospital. She's just as calm as she can be. Why? Because she's got the peace of God in her heart. You can see it. People that are going through it, God is squeezing out. He's squeezing it out. Listen, until you've gone through something, it can't be squeezed out. That's that peace. And what's it doing? It's guarding your heart. But then there was a third thing that she needed. Obviously, the Bible says in verse 56, look at what it says, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. I think that was real important, and I really had to think on this one. Why did she stay for 3 months? That's quite a stay. 3 months would have gave Mary time to really start showing in 3 months. It would have given her time to be hanging out with somebody else that is experiencing a miracle along with her to encourage her, to comfort her, but thirdly, to give her companionship. I can't stress enough the importance of church. I say this a lot, and I truly believe it. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. It's not because I get to preach. I love to preach. It's because I want to be with y'all. I want to hang out with y'all. This is fellowship. This is our Thanksgiving day together. This is fellowship. And when we're together, there's something powerful about that companionship. And folks that are not in church and folks that don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior, and maybe they're thinking that churches are full of hypocrites and churches are this and churches are that, listen, they don't know what they're missing out on. Because what I find in a church is I find people that will love you despite your failures, people that will love you despite your problems. They will pray for you. They will encourage you. When you're sick, they'll send you cards and letters. They'll come by and see you. They'll call you. I guarantee you, you can't be sick at Mount Sylvan and somebody not call you or do something. It's going to happen. We need the companionship, and God knows that. That's why he said in Hebrews 10 that to forsake not the assembly of yourselves, especially as you see the day approaching. We need that. Mary needed that companionship. You say, well, how do I apply that to my life? First of all, it's really simple. First thing you do is you obey the burden. When God burdens you to do something, just do it. When you feel it, it's like that gut feeling. You ever had that gut feeling? And you can line it up with the Word of God. And I mean, God's speaking to your heart, and he's saying, you've got to go witness to that person. You've got to call that family member. You've got to call that church member that you know is sick. Right now, this minute, you've got to make that call. You'll learn to read when it's the Holy Spirit. You'll learn to know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. And then when you simply say, God, I'm doing this because I love that person and I love you and I'm going to be obedient. I ain't got a clue what I'm going to say. I don't have a clue what I'm going to do, but I'm going to step out in faith and then you do the rest. And let me tell you, God will honor that, and he may confirm something with that other person that you had no idea that they were going through. And he may comfort you with something you had no idea that he was going to do. And he may establish a friendship and a companionship that is literally divine because of that one thing that you do. But then there's a second one. Expect God to motivate you with powerful truths. Look at verse 42. You see, it's hard to come close to God and God's truth doesn't sink into our heart. I love what happened here when Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to what Elizabeth says as she is just literally in a mode of worship. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed, it's the word where we get eulogy or honored. Blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Look at the humility of Elizabeth, the aged, in verse 43. She says, look at the question. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You see her faith right here? She's saying, my Lord, the Savior is in your belly. The Savior of the world is in your womb. And who am I, despite the miracle I'm experiencing, who am I that you should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. You know what I think? I think John the Baptist, as he grew up, I think his mom, Elizabeth, shared this story probably time after time again with John the Baptist. I want to show you something in John chapter 3. Look at John 3, 29. This is John the Baptist that is speaking, and he's speaking about Jesus Christ and who Jesus is. And John the Baptist is in tremendous humility. And I'm going to start in verse 28, but he says, "You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ." For those that thought that John the Baptist was the Christ. He says, "But I have been sent before him." Now they would have picked up on the Old Testament and the prophecy of this. Then look at what he says in verse 29. "He who has the bride is the bridegroom." Who has the bride? Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. We are the bride. He says, "But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him," watch this, "who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." Did you catch that? It's interesting that in the beginning with Elizabeth, it was when Mary's voice was heard that the babe leaped in the womb of Elizabeth, which would have been John the Baptist. But now John the Baptist has been hearing the voice of that Savior that was in the womb. See the flip side of this? He's now heard the voice of the Savior, the true voice. John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And John the Baptist now realizes, "I must decrease and he must increase." John the Baptist caught what every one of us must catch to be used of God. Jesus must increase and we must decrease. See the picture? John the Baptist says, "You know what? Now, I've been hearing the voice of the bridegroom. Now, my joy is not just there. My joy is fulfilled." Why? Because John the Baptist knew that I have prepared the way in the wilderness, and I have laid down those mountains, and I have filled those valleys, and I've made those crooked ways straight, and I've been preaching repentance in the name of Jesus, and now I can point everybody to this Christ who has began his ministry when he was baptized in that river. Isn't that beautiful? You see, today not much has changed. Jesus has resurrected from the grave and his spirit has been given. And now today, he wants you and I to do the same thing that John the Baptist was doing. He wants you and I to obey those burdens, to listen for his voice, and to serve him, and to serve him wholeheartedly. And when we do, God will reward that faithfulness. And he rewards it big time. The last one was expect God to magnify himself through you. You know, it's interesting that whenever the Bible said that she had a loud voice, that she greeted, whenever she heard that with a loud voice she spoke these things. That word for loud voice, it's really one word in the Greek, means megaphone. It's where we get our word for megaphone. Y'all, she's not just saying with a regular loud voice, she's saying with everything in her. It's a word that can come for crying out. She's crying this out. She's magnifying the Lord. That's what we do. Expect God to magnify himself through you. This is the second song of six songs surrounding Christmas. I'm never good at saying the words, but it's the Magnificat. Did I say it right? This is what this is called. It's where we get the word for magnify. And what happens when you obey the Lord and you start seeing God work in your obedience, what happens? We see it all the time on Facebook. God did a work in your life or in somebody else's life or somebody you were praying for, or you obey God in a certain thing, and then you see magnification, glorification taking place on Facebook as somebody is sharing the great thing that God did in a certain situation. Now, trace those steps back. Had you not been obedient, you wouldn't have got to see God's glory. That's why the Bible says, "Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That's how God works. He works through his church. And I want you to apply it like this. We read the song, the verses, and just for, I don't want to go over it all for time's sake, but just know this, there's 15 quotes and allusions to the Old Testament in this song. She knew the Old Testament. And then when you get to Mary's song, she knew the Old Testament. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and God is using what's there. He's using what they already understood and knew about Him. So here's the application to this, and I think it applies well, not just to Christmas season, but it applies to our hearts today, is you've got to let God move you into a different lifestyle for the health and encouragement for your faith. Examine your lifestyle today. Does my lifestyle encourage my faith, or is my lifestyle hindering my faith? Mary knew she had to make a change of lifestyle. Let others motivate you. It's okay. If somebody encourages you, accept it. If somebody blesses you, thank them. Accept it. Because it could be that God has sent them to do just that, just for you. That's how much He loves you. And then let God be magnified and magnify Him by thanking Him and praising Him for what God did. It's really that simple. The story of Mary and Elizabeth. More powerful than we would ever even dream. Let's pray.